Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
I'm here today with Nicola, who's going to be talking today about an adventure she had in the Far East, and especially in Burma. Hello, Nicola.
Yeah, okay. So I had an adventure in Southeast Asia. It's going back a few years, probably now 87, something like that. Yeah, but it was an interesting time. And I'm thinking of it a lot at the moment because Burma is in the headlines a lot, or it has been. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I went on my trip.
Okay. And why did you go to Burma?
Well, I wanted to go. I was sort of young and adventurous, and I wanted to go somewhere which was completely untouched by civilization, or different, or, you know, not many people went. So I was intrigued by that. I wanted to go somewhere new.
So you're not adventurous anymore?
I have adventures in different fields now.
Let's not go there. So how did you end up in Burma, and what did you do there?
Okay, so I was working as a journalist in a magazine called Business in Thailand in Bangkok, and I took a safari with an American photographer who was black, which added another angle of interest to the story. So we went into, we paid for the safari, and then we got them to take us a little bit, which was in northern Thailand, and they then took us a little bit further over the border illegally into Burma, because we wanted to go and interview people. Because actually at that time there was a sort of a civil uprising, and we, you know, that people were aware that there was something happening in Burma. We wanted to find out about it firsthand.
So you were a journalist. What was the aim of the piece that you were doing?
It was really to go and interview people. I wasn't a political journalist. It was just to sort of be there on the ground and see what was happening. And of course, the great advantage about Burma is that many people speak English, even the tribal people, because of the colonial background, the connection that we have with Burma.
But it was illegal to go into Burma at this time. So, in fact, what would have happened if you'd got caught?
It probably wouldn't have been a good idea, but I wasn't.
Okay. So in fact, when you got into Burma, yeah, you were taken by locals to places?
We went with locals. We actually went up the river. So we were in this, like, a little, it wasn't exactly a canoe, but a small boat. And in the boat, there were people smuggling big diamonds, big sapphires, wrapped in greasy rags. There was, you know, because, yeah, that was one of the things that was happening. So we went up the rivers, and we went by car as far as we could into the jungle, and then the paths ran out, and then we took boats, and we went into the center of the jungle, and we met with, we stayed in a traditional Asian village, which was completely unchanged by time, completely unlike Thailand. So it was a village on long stilts over the river. People sleeping on platforms.
Were they not surprised to see, well, Westerners, in fact, in the middle of the jungle at this time?
They were very, very surprised, especially because my travelling companion was black, and many of them had never seen a black person. So that was fairly amazing to see their reaction. In fact, we went to a market where there was very little on sale for food, and there was one girl there who was mixed race, and she saw my friend who was black, and the look on her face, she was just amazed to see another black person. That was amazing. Mm-hmm.
The David Livingstone moment.
Yeah, it was. No, they hadn't seen anything like us. They thought we were completely crazy. They especially thought we were crazy when we bathed in the river. But that's, you know, that is another story. In fact, you know, it looked like a beautiful, clean river, and we jumped in, and they looked at us. Thought we were mad, and we thought it was just a cultural thing, but in fact they thought we were mad because they thought we might get malaria, which we did. It was also a very strong malarial area too, so that was another experience. But
you caught malaria while you were here?
Well, there in this village.
Yeah, luckily I got that came actually didn't go down with it till I got out. So yeah, it was, I got
so you didn't need treatment there?
Not there, no.
Were you not taking the tablets?
Yeah, but what I didn't know was there were two sorts of malaria. There's Vivax and Falciparum. So I had the treatment for Vivax, which is the more normal one. And this area was, in fact, because of all kinds of reasons, it was a completely different strain of malaria, which I now know quite a lot about malaria. So I got the Falciparum, which is the more difficult one to get rid of, and which we haven't taken.
Can you tell me what...
This would be a word of warning against people going into, you know, different areas.
Okay, so be careful. Yeah. Kids. What did you actually see, apart from the jungle, what did you actually see when you went into this village?
Well, it was really ancient and timeless, so that the people had, the women had white painted faces, like they had this kind of strange white paint on their faces, and long greasy hair tied up with combs. Very poor, very kind of subtle. Very, very simple in those days, and really very little food. It was basically cabbage and rice. So that was a kind of a lesson in humility for us also. One amazing thing that happened when we were in one of the villages was that there was a Chinese store in the middle of this village. It was the only store, and in it they had a generator and a television. So it was the only television in the whole area, just this one TV in the middle of the jungle, and everybody around was gathered to watch it, you know, crouching in the mud, so, which is a fantastic monument to sort of entrepreneurial skills of the Chinese, really, that they'd managed to set up a TV in the middle of nowhere. But that wasn't the most amazing thing.
What was on TV?
I really don't remember. So but that was a strong thing? Image, you know, being in the jungle in the middle of this dark, dark night with the insects, huge trees, completely no air pollution, no light pollution whatsoever, and one solitary television and all the tribal people sitting around, you know, being illuminated by the television and the generator, you know, a TV that was flickering in the jungle. So that was a wonderful image. The most amazing thing was that our guides took us to a clearing to meet the Karen cabinet. So the Karen are one of the tribes. Burma is a tribal country, which is one of the reasons why it's such a complex, difficult place, you know. So the Karen are one of the major tribes who suffered a lot, and so they were also, I think, if I'm not wrong, the Gurkhas. A lot of them came from the Karen tribe. So they speak English. So in the middle of this jungle clearing with what looked like, you know, a collection of cricket pavilions and an immaculate English lawn, we were introduced to the heads of the alternative Karen cabinet. So we were marched from building to building. We met the Minister for Education, the Minister for Internal Affairs, and these gentlemen all spoke perfect English and explained to us how they would operate when they came, you know, when they had independence.
So Burma or Myanmar is independent now. Do you recognise any of these people in the present government?
No, of course not. Well, Burma is still controlled by the Burman race, the Burman tribe, who dominate, and I think there's still issues with the Karen. I haven't really followed it as much as, you know, I'm not an authority on what's happening now. But I do remember, you know, being incredibly moved by these people who I believe had been promised independence by the British, and who, you know, we didn't help them to achieve that. The incredible civilization and erudition of these people living in the jungle, making the best of a very tough situation.
So how long did you stay in Burma?
Oh, probably about a week, something like that, maybe 10 days. It was hard travelling. There was little food. It was very, very primitive.
Do you have plans to go back?
No. I wouldn't. That was a unique experience, I think. And I do have a memento forever, which was, you know, I remember forever the malaria I got.
Have to drink more gin or tonic, not the gin.
Yes. Okay. I've been trying very hard ever since to drink enough gin and tonic.
Okay, Nicola, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eslpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.